Welcome to episode 85 of the Rugby League Republic podcast with your host Tish and Dr. T. In this episode, we discuss Cam Smith's retirement from representative football. We debate whether Cam Smith is the greatest Origin player of all time, as well as our tips for round 11 of the NRL. Join us as we build a rugby league community for all. The Rugby League Republic podcast starts right now. Welcome to episode 85 of the Rugby League Republic podcast, where we aim to build an online rugby league community for everybody. Each week we bring you the everyday fan's perspective on the biggest news and issues in the world of rugby league, and we break it all down for you in our own unique way. I'm your co-host, Dr. T, and joining me is Tish. Tish, have you heard the news?
Look, I have heard the news, bitter and sweet, probably more sweet than bitter, I've got to say. But, well-balanced dish. I'm just so excited. MasterChef is back on TV. So is there any major news rugby league-wise?
I'm talking the rugby, the biggest rugby league news. Of course, it's about, Michael Maguire being appointed New Zealand coach. Didn't you know that?
Oh, well, interesting. Well, the thing is, has the Kiwis have they forgot the rules? Is that why they've hired the referees boss as their coach? But there you go. They had their worst performance in a few World Cups, so I suppose they needed a new coach. But look, I think the news that you were referring to is the retirement of Cameron Smith from Australian and Queensland representative duties.
Woohoo! Let's part. Oh, sorry. Let's. Look, this is a solemn occasion. A big news. I guess what's the biggest news is not just that he's retiring. He's retiring from rep football effective immediately.
Wow.
So this is really. I don't know if there was some discussions about this or if anyone saw this coming, but
yeah,
I would have thought with the amount of, with the amount of kind of celebratory, special milestone games that we see coming out of Melbourne Storm and Queensland. The amount of times we say, oh, this will be Petro's last Origin series. Oh, this will be, Thurston's last Origin series. This will be Kronk's last Origin series. I would have thought that someone like Cam Smith would have had the red carpet rolled out for him his parents would have had a keepsake, a lock of hair from his last Origin game, swapping the jerseys with the new South Wales hooker is, all that kind of stuff going on. But no, effective immediately, we don't get to farewell Cam Smith as Kangaroos skipper or as Queensland skipper. So that's highly unusual. What are your thoughts on this? Is it a conspiracy or I don't know?
Well, the thing is, I think we're jumping the gun a little bit because I think we are going to talk about it in one of our tackles. So I might just leave you on a bit of suspense and maybe let you know my thoughts when we get into our six tackles. But look, we also had a great round of rugby league that just happened over the weekend. The Tigers back on the winning circles, the Parramatta Eels, not necessarily.
No, don't talk about the Eels.
But also, a dragon killer this week rabbit.
Some shock result. Let's get into the quick review, the roundup of NRL round 10. So here we go. The Tigers defeating the Cowboys 20 points to 12. The Panthers against the Knights winning 29 to 18. The Bulldogs and the Eels, a close one, but the Bulldogs running out 20 to 12 winners. The Warriors shut out completely by the Roosters 32 to 0. That was probably the biggest shock, I think, of the weekend. The Storm defeating the Titans 28-14. The Sea Eagles in a high-scoring match defeating the Broncos 38-24. And this is what you're referring to. The Dragon Killers, the Dragon Slayers, Rabbitohs in the Indigenous round, and a fitting considering, you know, the high Indigenous population in Redfern that Rabbitohs represent. 24-10. A great victory, and that puts the Rabbitohs, well, they actually haven't moved. I think they're still in the top six, but they haven't actually moved up or down because everyone else around them won as well. And look, the Raiders let a winning lead collapse in between their hands, you know, much like the Avengers disassembling right in front of us. The Sharks defeating them 24-16. Look, a really good game, but yeah, the Sharks really, Valentine Holmes especially, absolutely killed it at the end there. But look, that was the round 10 roundup, and I think without any further ado, let's get into our six tackles. We've got a lot to talk about, so here we go. All right, tackle number one. Part one of the Great Mate Debate, is Cam Smith the greatest Origin player ever? Look, we could have debated many things about Cam Smith. You know, what's the deal with him retiring effective immediately from rep football? We could have gone that route, but no. The big talk, as always, when a player retires is, especially when it's one of the greats, is, are they the best ever? So there's been a lot of discussion about Cam Smith being the greatest Origin player ever. No doubt we have our views on this. Tish, I'll let you debate one way or another, and I'll do the opposite. What do you reckon?
Okay. Well, I think I know what your baseline opinion is. So I'll go against that because, like, I think we have very similar views on this, but I'll go against kind of my own judgment. And I'm going to say that he is the greatest Origin player of all time.
All right, off you go. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, coming back to what we were talking about previously, earlier in the show, about Cameron Smith, it is very odd that he is retiring immediately, and I think rugby league fans are being ripped off because we are missing out on the farewell tour of the greatest Origin player of all time, Cameron Smith. He's played more Origin. Yeah, he's basically got the record for the most Origins. You know, he's got a lasting record for a huge record for Australia and so forth. Look, not only in terms of the number of games played, but also just the number of wins. You know, how many wins has Cameron Smith had? He's had a truckload, and they've won series after series after series. You know, he's consistently been rated as the top player. The top three players in any one of these games, you know, he's been up for, you know, player of the series on multiple occasions. He's had, a whole multitude of different awards and accolades given to him, and that just clearly shows how great of a player he is. All incomers, all dummy halves of this generation, you know, they've all at various times tried to challenge Cameron Smith, some more successfully than others, but ultimately, you know, Cameron, even on a sort of a quiet game, still sort of seems to have an impact. And that's why Cameron Smith, I think, deserves it. Plus his leadership skills. You know, Cameron is a great leader. You know, great leaders are great negotiators. He's very good at negotiating the referees. I think if it was actually down to the referees, the referees would hands down pick Cameron Smith as their greatest captain and Queensland player. And I don't know about you. Look, I think about the shape of Australia and where Australia is headed. You know, potentially Cameron Smith can become not only our first rugby league prime minister, but perhaps even Australia's very first president. I think Cameron Smith deserves all those accolades, just pure on his leadership and negotiation skills. You know, nobody can negotiate like Cameron can. And I think, you know, it's an underrated skill, but he's clearly brought it to the forefront in rugby league. And, but there you go. So that's why my argument for Cameron Smith. Nobody beats his negotiating skills.
Right. Well, you certainly took this the hyperbole in many places there, advocating okay. for him to be our first president
yes.
of Australia, which is unbelievable. Look, stick to the topic there, Tish.
All right.
We're talking about, look, I think not only is he not the greatest Origin player ever, he's not even the greatest Origin player in the Queensland team at the moment.
Wow.
Because that honour, I think, if you look at the track record, yes, you can point to the fact he's got the record of 42 State of Origin match appearances, which will probably never be surpassed. You know, he's got many, many other records, you know, probably greatest point scorer, I don't know. You could name it, and I don't really care, because I am sick to death of the, you know, the back padding of Cam Smith. And you know, let's look at this honestly and realistically. Cam Smith has been fortunate in many ways that he has, you know, has been in the great Queensland sides with so many other great players that have carried that team from victory upon victory upon victory. One of those players is Jonathan Thurston, without question. And another one has to be Cooper Cronk. So not, in my view, you know, Thurston probably more so. But if you look at the record, if you look at the last, you know, what is it, 11 years or so, that where Queensland has been dominant in State of Origin, the 1 year that they didn't win, what was the key factor? What was the key difference? The key difference was that Cooper...
No Mitchell Pearce. Oh.
No, well, no, actually, well, that could be one of them.
Yeah.
You know, the key difference was that Cooper Cronk was out for a game and a half, or two games at least. And in those two games, that's when New South Wales dominated. And you know, at the time, we kind of... I don't think people realise the importance of Cooper Cronk to that team and the stability that he brought, you know, because we've seen even since then that, you know, Thurston was able to win a premiership with the Cowboys, their first ever, and all that sort of stuff. And so, you know, we kind of neglect the fact that, look, Cronk was actually really important for that side. All you have to do is look at what's happened to Cronk, or what's happened to Melbourne, sorry, since Cronk has left, you know. Cronk and Smith have won the last two Dally M medals, and then you pull Cronk out of that equation, and what happens? The Storm have come crashing back to the field. And I know you might sort of argue, yeah, but Cronk isn't really setting the world on fire with the Roosters, but that's not the point. The point is that in that structure, within that structure of Melbourne and within the structure of Queensland, Cronk shone much more than Smith did. And on that basis alone, if you look at that record, you can't argue, I think, in my mind, that makes Cooper Cronk a more important player, at least in the last, you know, 5-6 years, relative to Cam Smith. And no doubt he's achieved a lot, Cam Smith. He's been to, you know, he's the captain of Australia, you know, all that sort of stuff. And no doubt you become that leader, you become a captain, as you said, when you've got great negotiating skills, when you've got the ability to sort of hoodwink the referees and command the respect of the opposition. But that doesn't necessarily make you the greatest Origin player ever. You know, what Wally Lewis, I think there are players like Wally Lewis and Alan Langer and players like that would... I think it's an insult to those great players of the past when we start talking about, you know, some of the great players of this generation being the greatest ever. I think this is why it's important, Tish, as we mentioned last time in our last episode, that we're gonna start doing our kind of a new sort of podcast topic, new series of podcasts where we look yes. back on the past, because I think if we don't look back on the past, we tend to make these silly statements about, you know, the current batch being the greatest ever, when, you know, you could argue that's not really the case. And I think, you know, it's an insult to my memory of Wally Lewis and how he absolutely dominated Origin. Yes, he didn't dominate club football nowhere near as much, but I think it's fair to say that, you know, nothing struck the fear into the hearts of New South Welshmen back in the late 80s and early 90s than, you know, seeing Wally Lewis in that Queensland squad. You just knew that you were battling uphill. And I don't think Cam Smith sort of commands that same level of fear amongst the Queenslanders. I mean, I think the fact that he hasn't been bested by another New South Wales hooker doesn't necessarily mean that he has been dominant, if that makes any sense. I think there are plenty of other players that have played a lot better at Origin level than he has, and even at Australian level. So, look, I'm going to end it at that. I don't know if we're ever going to agree.
Yeah, well, look, I can see to you, you know, you brought up a lot of good points. And, look, the greatest player of all time, that's really – I don't think it's anything that you could ever truly settle on, because Wally Lewis, Cameron Smith, Alan Langer, Steve Renouf, Arthur Beetson, all these players, they all played in different positions. Darren Lockyer, so Darius Boyd, all these players, great players, Jonathan Thurston, but, you know, they all play in different positions. They've got different roles in the team. And can you pick the greatest when really the roles of every player is actually quite different? And, maybe you should sort of, I'm happy to concede that he could be the greatest dummy half of Queensland history. Maybe that might be a worthy title. But then, you know, he's also playing in a different era to the Steve Walters and some of the other great dummy halves that Queensland have. So sometimes these rankings on who is the greatest player, it is a little hard to judge because rugby league changes, the rule changes, and what the player's role in the team changes as well. So, but look, Cameron Smith, well done on a remarkable Origin career, Origin and Australian career, and now it's time for some of these young guns to try and replace him. And what an exciting Origin series we have this year with basically New South Wales and Queensland having to look for new players. It's going to be really exciting.
All right, and that's a perfect segue to the second tackle, where we're going to stick with State of Origin. And here we go, it's a second tackle. Who should Freddie pick in the New South Wales Origin team? So, Gus Gould has written an article this week where he's talked about, look, he thinks that Brad Fittler will have a bit of a different take on picking his squad, and he's got lots of players to choose from. So look, I'm just going to open up. We don't have to go through the squad, but let's think about who should Freddie pick in the team. So this is not so much a traditional debate. We're not going to say yes or no. This is more about picking certain players and debating each one. So, Tish, are there any I've got some names here that we can go through to see. Look, are these people ready for Origin? Is Freddie ready?
Okay.
Is Freddie ready to bring some new blood?
Okay. Well, maybe you run through your suggestions and now at the end of it, if there's anybody missing, I might throw that in today. Why don't you go first with some of your suggestions?
Well, I've got a list here of ones that have been nominated here on this Sydney Morning Herald article. So let's go through and let's debate each one, because I think some of them are a quick yes or no.
Yep.
Mitchell Moses.
No.
Latrell Mitchell.
I'm going to say, look, great player, maybe a couple of seasons off. I'd say no.
James Roberts.
Should have been picked 2 years ago. Yes. I'd say.
What, you reckon?
100%. He's the fastest player in rugby league. He scores tries for Brisbane. Look, Brisbane don't necessarily have... They've had issues with their attack. They've had issue around their halves. But yet, James Roberts, when he has the ball, has been the most exciting thing about their attack. And the other thing is, he's got some inside knowledge on some of the other players that we'll play against, because he's playing in Queensland. He's pretty much played his whole NRL career in Queensland. So I think he'll be a very, very valuable asset to have in the New South Wales side. Uh, your, What about yourself, the Dr. T?
Yeah, look, I sort of agreed with you before. Let's stick with the Mitchell Moses. No, I agree. Latrell Mitchell, maybe. Maybe not yet, but I think he could work off the bench. James Roberts here, I think, it would be a bit of a shock because, again, we're kind of – I think Freddie needs to sort of rip the playbook apart and sort of chuck the rule book out the window a bit and sort of go, look – you know, there's no point thinking about incumbents and all that kind of stuff because they haven't really won anything.
Yeah, of course. So,
you know, players like, what's his name, Ferguson,
yep.
You know, he needs to go. I mean, he's been such a liability in defense.
Mm.
It's, you know, why not chuck in a James Roberts there or, you know, I don't know, find someone else that can sort of get out there in the wings. But, yeah, anyway, so moving on, Angus Crichton. Look, I don't know what you think, but I thought he was I didn't realize he quit being a best-selling author. yeah. Good on him. Good on him for finding a second career. Angus Crichton, I don't know. I don't know enough about him. I think no.
Yeah, look, he's a bit of an unknown. Maybe off the bench, but look, because he's had impact in the game. But I think, to be honest, I don't think I've actually seen him start, so I don't know if he's the 80 minute workhorse we need in the forwards. I think he's more of a impact player, and I think this is where New South Wales has gone wrong a little bit. We've kind of overlooked the tough 80 minute players in our forwards and gone with more speculative X factor, yeah. You know, 10 out of 10 one week.
The shiny players rather than the workhorses, yeah.
We've gone for more sizzle than steak, shall we say. So I think, yeah, I think he's a bit of sizzle, and I haven't really tasted the steak quite yet with Angus. So
speaking of sizzling and steak, Damien Cook. That's a perfect segue there. But look, I think Cookie is a good choice to replace Nathan Peets. I don't think he's been doing anything. So I think he's shown. Look, he's been very instrumental in the Rabbitohs resurgence. So I put it to you that Damien Cook should be there. What do you think, Tish?
Look, I think he's definitely in contention. I'd say no on Nathan Peets. I don't think Nathan Peets has done enough this year or did enough in the series last year to warrant a return to Origin. So I'd say Damien Cook a definite maybe. What New South Wales has been successful in the past is actually picking a halfback in the hooking role or in the dummy half role. And I just wonder if maybe Brad Fittler might have something like that in mind. So potentially, you know, because we've got some nice young halfbacks at the moment, and it's a bit hard to pick which one to go for. So maybe I'm thinking like maybe a Cleary or a Luke Brooks, somebody like that in a dummy half role, and then picking another halfback as well. So you could test them out in both fronts.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. And poor old Robbie Farah. I mean, we're already forgetting Robbie Farah. But I suppose that's fair enough. I mean, I think he hasn't really shown much at the Rabbitohs, has he? So
yeah.
Look, you got another couple of names just quickly before we finish this off. Regan, what's his name? Regan Campbell Gillard. I think he's a must.
I think he's a must too. Definitely a very strong player, and he's already playing for Australia. So let's give him a run.
Exactly. Paul Vaughan, again, I think a must.
Yep.
I think he's the future of the forward pack there.
Yes, definitely. I think Paul Vaughan. And you know what? He's been good enough to play in previous series, I feel. So I think it's kind of warranted to have him there.
Yeah. And what about Turbo Tommy Trbojevic?
Yes. Well, Manly have been a bit indifferent. I know their performances have been great. But, you know, look, New South Wales needs winning culture. So you want players who are in a winning environment to pick the team. So I think based on his, maybe not his performance, but his club's performance, I think I'd say no.
Oh, I think that's pretty harsh. I think he needs to be there. He's got a lot of promise, and I think you can't blame the club, you know, for
I'm tired of New South Wales promises, Dr. T. I want results.
Well, you know, here's another one that maybe want to finish off. We were talking about Nathan Cleary as well, but Nathan Cleary, I mean, look, I think he's coming back from injury this weekend, so I think it's probably a bit too early to say, but I think definitely keep him in mind, Freddie. But I'm going to finish with this one because we talked about James Roberts earlier. Josh Adokar.
Look, I would love to see him in the team, actually. I think he's got, I know I just sort of raved on about the X Factor a little bit, but I mean, he's definitely got that X Factor. But he's also, look, he's got a bit of an inside knowledge in Melbourne. He knows how that team works. I know he's out there on the wing. He puts in a lot of effort as well, like sort of taking the ball up, you know, during that. So I think he's almost a must. I think we need a bit of change in the flanks, and I think that Adokar, a finisher like him, would be perfect in our team.
And I'm going to throw in someone from my team, Clint Gutherson.
Ooh. Look,
is he a Queenslander? I hope he's not a Queenslander.
Well, look, if he is,
chuck him in there.
If he's in there, I think the Guthernator, you know, I'm not sure what the perfect position for him is. I'm not too sure if he knows himself, but potentially, you know, like maybe even off the bench. And I know that he, you know, the one thing that you can guarantee with Clint Gutherson is that the Guthaholics are going to buy the tickets and, you know, Guthamania is going to run wild in this year's State of Origin series with the selection of Clint Gutherson.
All right, I'll leave it at that. tackle number three, let's move on. All right, so tackle three, we are talking about a potential rule proposal. Should penalties be banned within the 20-meter zone? Tish, it's your proposal. What do you propose?
All right, Dr. T. I just be as quick as I can to try and do this because it is a bit complicated. But ultimately, what I'm suggesting is that rather than the referee blowing a penalty within the 20-meter zone, so 20 meters towards the from the try line, when you know, rather than blowing a penalty, we instead, the referee awards another fresh set of six or rules six tackles, a fresh set of six tackles to the attacking team if the defensive team, you know, cause an infringement. So basically, and the reason why I think this is actually a good idea when my mate and my friend suggested this is simply because, you know, there are too many stoppages that happen from penalties, and it happens a lot because the defensive team is trying to stop a tackle from a try from happening, so they all deliberately, you know, cause infringements, offsides, and just, you know, really, really silly stuff. And the referees keep pulling these up. So to keep the game flowing, I think it'd be a good idea if we just sort of rule another set of six and we just keep on ruling that until eventually, you know, the defensive team is actually playing properly, a try is being scored, or the defensive team, through their strong tackling, is able to somehow get their hands on the ball, you know, through an intercept or through a hard tackle and, you know, the attacking team dropping the ball or from a wrong kick or anything like that. So, Dr. T, what are your thoughts on this idea of rather than blowing a penalty in the 20 meter zone is to just continue to give us a fresh set of six every time an infringement occurs?
Look, I think it's a good idea, but do you want to do this as a debate?
Well, yeah. Look, if
take a side, what do you think? I'll let you have a go.
I'm gonna say yes.
All right. Well, then can I start and say no?
Okay. Yes. Go for it.
I don't think it should happen, and the reason is that it doesn't go far enough. If you decide to ban penalties just within the 20-meter zone, you could argue that you may as well apply that rule for all penalties, which would really dramatically change the nature of the game. Why not then allow, you know, and agree, if the logic is that you want to reduce stoppages, well, stoppages occur at the other end of the field too. So why not just ban penalties altogether? And and I'm putting that up as a straw man because I don't think that's going to be a good idea. So that's why I think no, that we shouldn't ban penalties within the 20 meter zone. I think teams should be punished severely for for infringements within the 20 meter zone. I like the fact that penalties can be given and goal points can be captured for one team against the defensive team who's given away a penalty. I think that's punishment enough. I think giving the attacking team a six tackles, well, if you got a bunch of attacking dunces like Parramatta this year, you know, that's going to lead to no points for anyone. So I think it's kind of not fair, you know, from a Parramatta centric perspective, but also in general, I think it once you open that door to that kind of a rule change, I think it fundamentally changes behaviors and what's going to happen. And you could argue, why not do it for all penalties, which I would say no to either. So that's my take on that, why I say no to that rule change.
Okay. Well, look, fair enough. I mean, that is, look, I don't think anybody has ever suggested it. So it is a very unique idea in that way. Look, but I think, you're right. Maybe you should extend this out a little further, and then you're sort of getting rid of penalties altogether. So I could see where you're coming from that angle. But look, where I get frustrated, dude, is that sometimes, you know, your team, you know, or a team is attacking, you know, they've sort of got a bit of a roll on, and then an infringement occurs on the other side of the field. And rather than just playing on and letting the game go, you know, the ref pulls it up, a penalty, everybody stops. And then, you know, the attacking team that was just about to score, instead of scoring, they end up taking a 2 points or having to reset and end up sort of missing out on a try. And it was because the flow of the game was interrupted. So I think in terms of the flow, I think I want to have something like this where, you know, the game doesn't stop. It just continues on until something happens. But I do take your point. You know, look, if it does mean that it's almost like a penalty. By not blowing a penalty, the penalty becomes actually more valuable within the 20-meter zone, doesn't it? Because you kind of almost guaranteed a try. I know if you have to defend 12 tackles in a row with no stoppages, some teams won't be able to handle it.
Yeah, look, that's fair enough. I think the other thing is that with, you know, like I said, you're likely to change behaviours dramatically by even a simple rule change like that. And I get the idea that you want to keep the game flowing and that kind of thing. But I would argue that if you're the attacking team and you get a penalty, you know, some sort of reward for whatever the infringement is, whether that's an outright penalty or a extra six tackles, that you're motivated to score the try more often than not. So you actually want to keep things moving as quick as you can. And you know, yes, there's the stoppages might be, you know, look, I think it's just a bit too, it's something that we could try. Look, we could try it. I'm not completely against it. We could try it at one of our exhibition matches or
State of Origin. Like that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, try it at State of Origin. But, And you know what? Cam Smith will be looking for a job soon, so he can be the penalty adjudicator. He can be the one running around doing the six tackle sign, six to go.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Well, what I think is that he is actually the referee's referee.
That's right. He's they're looking for a referee's boss. Let's be fair.
There you go.
All right. Let's move on to tackle number four. This one's a quick one about Nathan Cleary's secret diet for recovery. Tish, I don't know if you know this, but Nathan Cleary has a secret to his success, to the reason why he's come back sooner from his ligament, his knee recovery than what he would have otherwise, is that he read up a bit about ligament recovery and realized that oysters are apparently good for ligament recovery. And so he stocked up on oysters and he's overdosed himself on oysters, and apparently it's worked. So, wow, very interesting stuff. But I would like to say, look, are there any, you know, is there any kind of, you know, dietary fixes that you know of that?
Hello.
Injury. Yep. Is there anything that will help, you know, what are we? Anyone who could help, you know, a bit of a cramp during the game, you know? Do you bring out your strawberries? What's the deal? Like, any tips you got, Tish?
Yeah, well, the only one that I have, Dr. T, is pickle juice. I think for cramps.
Right. So bring out the pickle juice instead of the oranges at halftime.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe, Tiger Balm for a whole bunch of ailments and,
A bit of acupuncture.
My Greek friends all told me that Windex is actually a really good muscle healer as well. But look, I'm quite disappointed in Nathan Cleary because he's been doing all this research and unfortunately all this research has been paid by the Tigers because he's been using his home's Wi-Fi network, which is paid for by his dad, Ivan Cleary, our coach. And now he's playing against the Tigers. He's ready to go. I think that's an absolute travesty that the Tigers have essentially aided Nathan Cleary by paying his Wi-Fi bill to actually figure this stuff out.
Well, that's a bit of a stretch, blaming it on the Wi-Fi.
Well, he looked it up somewhere, right? I'm guessing it was at home. And who does he live with? Well, he lives with the Tigers coach, that's highly unfair that he chooses to play against his old man's team. You know, come on, Nathan, what are you doing? Forgetting the man who's raised you like this. It's tragic.
Yeah, a bit ironic that he comes back against when they're playing against his dad's team. But there you go. All right. Well, I don't have any other tips beyond. I think I like the pickle juice thing. So look, there is I think that's good that, guys, when you're out there and you're having your Big Mac meal or whatever, your cheeseburger meal on the weekend, take out the pickle, put it aside, squeeze it up in the food processor, take it to your next footy game.
Yeah.
Sure to stop the cramps as the winter months are rolling by. And especially if you've got a few big games coming up. So that's a good tip there. All right, let's move on to the next tackle. All right, Trent Hodkinson, the big news is that he will be heading off mid-season to Manly from Cronulla. The Cronulla experiment hasn't worked out, so he will now go into Manly. Hopefully to fix up some of their 5/8 issues that they've had with the old Jackson Hastings sort of issue. What do you think of that? Trent Hodkinson, let's not forget, the last State of Origin halfback for New South Wales to have success at that stage.
Yeah.
So he was, again, he unceremoniously dumped the following year. As incumbent halfback, and we have never looked back since because we've never been able to go backwards.
Yeah, that's right. So, look, almost a forgotten man of New South Wales, and I'm really glad and excited because I think Trent Hodgkins is a good guy for rugby league. Obviously, having a few years at Newcastle, now moving over to Cronulla, and then all of a sudden mid-season going to Manly. So good on Trent for having a role, and all the best to him. I find it strange that Manly are able to sign a player in the same year that they've been fined for being over the salary cap.
Yes, interesting, that isn't it?
It is. So all the drama is with Manly this year, and I think this is an intriguing article to say the least. Apparently they're not over the salary cap this year. Maybe that's why they're able to do it. But, salary cap issues, signing new players, getting rid of old disciplinary players, fights in ball, in clubs, and just so much happening in Manly. And, Trent Barrett's been upset. I say, bring Jeff Toovey in. Let's have an investigation.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. I think Jeff Toovey requires an investigation.
Yes.
But this, it's a bit dodgy. It's a little bit dodgy. And we don't say that lightly. But when it comes to Manly, we do. Very dodgy. But let's have an investigation. Let's look into it. But look, I hope he goes well. I think he's been a bit quiet in the last few years since that State of Origin series. A bit of a shame because, he showed some good talent there. And when he was at the Bulldogs at the time. And look, I'd like to see him get back to his best because I think, we need another option at halfback at State of Origin. And I don't know if he can ever recapture that form, but let's hope he goes well. Let's hope he improves because I think he's been a bit stagnating the last couple of years. And he's a good guy, and it's always good to see the good guys get in the good stories.
So, absolutely.
There you go. All right, tackle number six. Here we are, our round 11 previews and tips. And before we head into that, let's look at our round 10 results. You did very well. You got 7 out of 8.
Oh, yes.
Only the Dragons disappointed you there. I didn't do so well. I only got 3. So even though I almost caught up last week, you're back out to a 6-point lead, 44-38. So my tipping is going really bad this year, about as good as the Eels' performances. Let's move into round 11, the big matches. Panthers versus Tigers. Well, this could be a tough one for the Tigers. I actually think the Panthers will win this one.
Yeah, well, this is a family feud. Obviously, you know, Ivan Cleary, you know, going up against his son's name, Nathan Cleary. Also in the Tish household, my wife is a huge Panthers fan. I'm a huge Tiger fan. We're actually going to go out and watch the game, our very first Thursday night rugby league match that we're going to go out and see. So I'm going to look, I've got to go with the Tigers, but I know that somebody in our car will be very disappointed on the way home.
Exactly. All right. Well, unless it's a draw. Eels versus Warriors. I'm tipping the Eels. I think the Warriors are wounded at the moment, and with no Johnson and no Luke, I think they're a bit rudderless. So I'm going for the Eels this time.
Oh, well, look, what's happened to the Warriors? I will think that they will bounce back after their dramatic poor performance against the Roosters. Warriors for me in this one.
All right, Broncos versus Roosters. These are traditionally really high-quality matches. After the Roosters demolished the Warriors last round, and the Broncos are off a tight loss to the Manly Seagulls, you have every right to believe that the Roosters are favourites. However, I have it on good authority that the Broncos have won 15 games straight with Jared Sutton as referee. And he is refereeing them again this time.
Wow.
And I'm thinking that this will be the difference. So the Broncos will upset the Roosters, I think.
Okay. Well, Friday night, Channel 9, it has to be a Broncos match. and they normally win. So I like you, despite the performance of the Roosters last week and the performance of the Broncos last week, frankly, I'm going to tip Brisbane.
All right. Titans versus Knights. I think the Titans are on a downhill slide to the bottom, and the Knights are pretty good this year, so the Knights were mine.
Yeah, look, I think the Knights are going to fortify their position this year, and nice victory over the Titans this weekend.
Cowboys versus Rabbitohs. I think the Rabbitohs have found a new lease of life, and they'll continue their winning ways against the Cowboys.
Yep. Look, you know, two of the three Queensland clubs not doing so well, and one of them is, surprisingly, the Cowboys. I don't know what the Cowboys have, and the Rabbitohs are on fire at the moment. So let's. I'm with you, the Rabbitohs on this one.
Storm versus Seagulls. Now, after what I saw last weekend, I would say, look, the Seagulls, with the news of Hodko joining them, you know, I would say, look, maybe Manly could, you know, on the upward trajectory, they're getting their act together finally after some difficult times in the last few weeks. But never bet against a Storm team, in my view, that has a reason to you know, farewell someone or, you know, celebrate something. It seems that when there's something interesting happening in the Storm, inevitably their team performs very well on the paddock. I don't know whether that will be the case again here, because I think, as we said earlier, we're a bit shocked as to the shock announcement of his sudden retirement from rep football. But what he means by that, I think, is that he, Cam Smith, obviously wants to, you know, focus on the Storm, and I think that will lead to the Storm, you know, revitalizing themselves against the Seagulls. So the Storm for mine.
Yeah, well, look, Cameron Smith is probably going to hold on to Melbourne a bit stronger this year. But you know what happens when you hold on to sand too tightly? It slips through your fingers, and I think Manly will pick up the pieces and defeat the Storm this weekend and start their new journey upward.
Wow. Big call there. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
Dragons versus Raiders. I'm guessing you're not going to make a big call with this one. I'm going for the Dragons.
Yeah, look. Yeah, look, I've got to tip the Dragons on this one as well. Look, I don't know how Canberra lost that game last week. Well, I know how they also played really badly in the second half, but I couldn't believe that it was the same team. But anyway, and the Dragons, look, you know, they're not going to... They don't want to stay down too long, because I think anytime they lose, the word choke just goes into their mind. So they're going to be really red hot for this week. So, yeah, Dragons for mine in this one.
All right. And finally, Sharks versus Bulldogs. I think the Sharks did well to escape, you know, the jaws of defeat there. And I think they'll take a lot from that. I don't know what the loss of Hodkinson will do to them, but I think it might actually solidify their halves. I think Moylan will have a great game. So look for the Sharks to defeat the Bulldogs quite handsomely, I would think.
Okay, look, I'm going to tip a bit of an upset here. I think the Bulldogs can win. I think recently the Bulldogs have shown that they're, you know what, they're in matches for long periods. They have really good defense. It might frustrate the Sharks, who typically, you know, want to play more of a expansive style. And I think, I think the Bulldogs will sneak out of victory and look for Marshall King to have a great game.
All right. So that wraps up our podcast. Thank you very much for listening to us, everyone. Don't forget to head over to our website, ourarepublic.com, and subscribe to our RSS feed for our podcast, or head over to iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review and a favorable review, please, if possible, and subscribe to our podcast so you get notified whenever a new podcast drops. And don't forget to find us on Facebook, where we will notify you when we release a new episode, and we'll keep you up to date with all the biggest news as well. So hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Tish, I will leave it over to you on a sad occasion this time, where we farewell Cam Smith without actually farewelling him. But yet we also celebrate as New South Welshmen that we don't have to contend with him at State of Origin level ever again.
Mm.
There we go. Our little tribute to Cam Smith. Over to you to wrap this one up, Tish.
Yes, look. Thank you, Dr. T. It is with great sadness that we brought this podcast to you, but also great joy. But unfortunately, that is all the time that we have on this episode of the Rugby League Republic. We are your hosts, Tish and Dr. T. Please join us next time on the Rugby League Republic. Bye for now.